Mary, you're not allowed to wear bras anymore. We should have had this conversation on the podcast.
I'm in this world. Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling great. I don't know. I thought this would be like the best football Sunday of the year, one of them, this past Sunday, week 11. And there was really, first of all, the 1 o'clock game, your team's game was the only sort of memorable game. I mean, Detroit-Dallas was semi-watchable. But the Minnesota-Denver game was the
game of the day. Well, you can't get greedy, though. The week before was great.
Yeah,
so.
But I missed the week before. And hopefully this week, yeah. This week is hopefully going to be legendary because all three primetime games are legit, plus, you know, the biggest TV game of the year, Cowboys-Patriots.
Yeah, yeah. There's five great games this week. There's the game that was flexed out of Sunday night. Seattle at Philly, which is a very important game. I mean, Philly, you know, I've been saying how, you know, the Cowboys-Eagles game isn't going to even matter week 16. And basically, my take was the Eagles are going to be favored in every single game they have the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, their toughest game.
You said as
week.
Fact, famously, that the yeah. Eagles are going to run away with the division, even though now.
Yeah.
You admit if they lose to Dallas, they can't win the division now, right?
Well, so I went 11-2 picking winners and losers last week. The only two games I got wrong was I thought the Eagles would win and they lost. And I thought the Cowboys would lose and they'd win. Well, actually, no, that was before that was with Stafford. So the other what was the other game that I got wrong? Was
were you on the other side of me for Niners, the Niners Cardinals game?
No, why you picked the Cardinals to win? No.
Well, no, Oh, yeah, winners and losers. Sorry, not spread.
No, but no. The only game we disagreed about was Pittsburgh.
Wait, did I lose my billion or push my billion because the fake touchdown in the last play of San Francisco, Arizona? What line
no,
were we picking on? 10.5?
Yeah, no, we had it at 13.5, so you were fine.
I mean, honestly, if I bet money and I lost on that play, like it's okay to lose even on a even on like a pick six that's meaningless. It's fine to lose. But on a pick six that, like, if anybody cared about and they reviewed, the guy picked up the ball and threw it 20 yards in the air like it was
the beginning of a dodgeball. What I don't understand is, I don't know, because of the fact that the line was 9.5 or 10
yeah.
in most places, because there was a lot of money on it, like, the NFL isn't stupid. They know that.
They have to review the touchdown. It makes no sense.
Why did they not review that? I don't understand why they didn't review it.
It was upsetting. It was because that play was absurd. I've watched the play like 20 times, and there's only really one angle. They didn't replay it on the, you know, because the game was over. Like, it's hard to see exactly what happens, but it appears to be the Niners player. First of all, I think the guy was down. The Cardinals player falls on the ball.
The ball can't just fly 20 yards
backwards. No, it's very hard to tell, but basically I think the Niners player just picks it up and tosses it into the end zone. That's really what happens. It's crazy. By the way, the NFL does, like, they do this with Super Bowls. Like, when the game's over, they, like, all right, it's fine. It's over. We're not reviewing anything, like.
Not like hundreds of millions of dollars.
No, it's crazy.
By the way, so, yeah, you won both of your wussy $100 million bets. You had Arizona covering, and you had Baltimore covering. So you're up to $1.2 billion. I sadly lost half of my stack because I bet on the Eagles. And, you know, for the record, the Eagles were up 10-0 when Lane Johnson left the game, and then they never scored another point. I mean, losing your left tackle, especially on an offensive line that's been aging and him and having trouble, was just the deciding point in that game, I think.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, after that, the Eagles did nothing. Now, they obviously had a chance, Aguilar, with another drop in the end zone. Although, to be fair, that was a very tough play.
I did say last week their receivers suck. You're like, well, they're not suck. No, you admit, their receivers absolutely suck.
The receivers aren't great, but I still think, you know, Zach Ertz is good, obviously. Alshon Jeffrey is good. I think they have bigger issues than their receivers. Their offensive line's health is an issue. Obviously, their secondary is getting a little bit better. But again, but they're still, you look at the remaining schedule, they're still going to be favored in every game, right? I mean, this week is the tough game against Seattle at home. But then after that, they play Miami in week 13. That has to be a win.
It has to be,
right?
A win.
They play the Giants at home in week 14. Has to be a win.
Mm-hmm.
They play Washington week 15, has to be a win. I mean, they're playing like all the bottom teams.
Yeah.
Then they have the week 16 game at home against the Cowboys. That game, you know, I think that
game
now
should
will
get flexed to
game.
Week 17.
Yeah, it should be. No, you're right. But what they should reverse. That would be a brilliant idea. Have the Cowboys. Who are the Giants playing?
Well, they'd have to be Washington flipping NFC 16. East teams that week. Which
no, it works perfectly.
Oh, it does.
The NFC East teams are all playing each other in week 16 and 17.
Oh, that's brilliant. Then
this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah. But does it, yeah, let's flip the game.
Because Giants-Washington is a meaningless game, whether it's week 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
But week 17, with the Cowboys and Eagles both playing the meaningless teams, those games are both meaningless, especially if the Eagles win. That's a brilliant idea. Swap the games. Wow, brilliant idea by Keeve there.
Yeah, I'm calling into
it. Could almost never work. It only works in a circumstance where all four divisional teams are playing each other each of the 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that is the only way, yes.
Yeah. I mean, they would never do that, but actually, why wouldn't they? What's the reason? Assuming that the stadiums are available?
I mean, the fans would complain, like, hey, I'm supposed to go, you know, especially like Christmas and New Year's are involved, like, hey, I was staying home for this game, and now it's a different week. Like, it's one thing to move. They, you know, this is the first year they've ever moved the game from Saturday to Sunday, where, you know, put it as a 50-50.
Yeah, the other issue is it'd be, for each game, it'd be the opposite, because the Eagles and Washington are playing at home in Week 16, yeah. Whereas in Week 17, it's the Cowboys and Giants who are playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be having to swap four stadiums also. But yeah, but so that game, based on my projections now, the Cowboys are going to be 8-6 going to the 9-5 Eagles. But because the Cowboys have won the first game in the matchup, this game will be a de facto game for the division.
Yeah, all right. So
yeah, so that game will obviously flex in Week 16.
Well, I don't think it's going to be flexed because that's Fox is going to protect it. I think it was already the Sunday night game.
Oh.
So okay. I think, you know, that'll be like the big 425.
But I mean, right
game.
Now it's KC at Chicago. That game will obviously not still be.
Well, we discussed this in the patron group, I think. But there's not an obvious Week 16 game. Was Bill Steelers
Rams
that week?
Rams at Niners. Is that flexible?
Yeah, that is flexible.
So then it would be that
one. Oh, but the Rams might be irrelevant. Like, that still might be the flex just because they need something. But, like, the Rams could definitely be out of it, I'm sure, by Chet.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Rams at that point at 8-6, which means they would need to win in San Francisco.
Right, they wouldn't be eliminated. As long as they're not mathematically eliminated. But also, it's after the other games have played. You know, so in theory, you could be mathematically eliminated by Sunday.
Well, no, it's not, because the Vikings are playing Monday Night Football.
Oh, okay, fine. But someone else could knock them out.
And the Vikings, well, no, it would, because the Rams are going to be fighting with Seattle and Minnesota.
Yeah, well, Seattle, I'm saying, like, could be the knocker-outer also.
Yeah. So, it could be that game, because then it's a situation where if the Vikings lose to the Packers the next day, and the Rams were to beat the 49ers, then the Rams could have a chance.
They really got, look, like, the Vikings-Packers is the last Monday Night game of the year. That's obviously also, you know, an excellent game.
Yeah, and Indy New Orleans is the Monday night game. The previous week is not, an exciting game. You know, the Saints are going to be, you know, heavy favorites, but it's an important game because, you know, those are both teams fighting for playoff
positioning. Indy will almost certainly be in the let's try something different this week, because we usually the last 6-7 weeks of the year rank the games by relevance, but it's pretty clear like what the big five are this week. I went to random.org, to the list randomizer. I put all 32 NFL teams in. And let's do up 1 minute on each of the 32 teams.
Okay. You have your egg timer?
I have my egg timer. And away we go. Number one, Buffalo Bills.
All right. You know, Josh Allen dropped a marvelous game against the Dolphins. Granted, it was against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But they had looked a little bit feistier the previous couple of weeks.
Is Josh Allen going to be the new Bills... Blake Bortles, like, in terms of fantasy? He's much better than Bortles was, but, like... A guy who...
No, they're very different, because Bortles was all in garbage.
Yeah,
time,
only
right?
Fourth like, quarter. Bortles would always have a four, and you'd know he'd end up with a 22.
Yeah, but it was because his team would be down, you know, 31-10, and he'd get two touchdowns late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen's putting up, you know, relevant fantasy numbers for his team right now. And, you know, they're 7-3. They play at home against Denver this week.
Yeah.
So I think that they're almost certainly, you know, back in the driver's seat for that wild card spot.
Yeah, that Thanksgiving game against Dallas is a good game. The problem is the first game... which is when I have my meal, which is at 7:30 at night.
Bears Lions is an irrelevant game.
It's upsetting. Like, it's annoying to have one team that's irrelevant, but that Bears Lions game, it's not even going to have Stafford. It could be Chase Daniel versus Driscoll. That's brutal. Let's flex that out. The Lions, like the Lions have been in this 12:30 spot for too long. They've ruined too many Thanksgiving meals. Let's get the Lions.
This is the coldest take in the world. Like, they should have been flexed out of Thanksgiving 20.
I know, but at this point, it's like Goodell should be like a Vince McMahon character, where he should be like, all right, if you guys lose next year on Thanksgiving, you're banned from 20 years for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Think about the stakes of that game. So we spent 60 seconds talking about the Bills, and we talked about the Lions.
Okay, number two, the Baltimore Ravens.
Wait, are we going to make a pick at least for that game?
We'll make picks at the end. We'll make quick picks at the end.
Okay, all right. The Baltimore Ravens are number two. Oh, wow. Where are they in your power rankings? Are they over, under two right now?
I would say they're like 1B. I have no problem with having them at one, but you know, yeah. I mean, they should be one. They should be one. This is the best team in football.
I have them number one, and it's a big change because I had the Patriots in the one spot. I'm just scrolling back to look. I had the Patriots in the one spot since week one. Kansas City was in the preseason, and then after week one, I moved the Patriots there. The Patriots were there the entire season. And through no fault of their own, because they had a big win on the road this week, but the Baltimore Ravens, the number one team in the NFL right now, according to the Chest.
Yeah, so Rams, Niners, Bills, that's three playoff teams in the next 3 weeks. And then by the time they get to a decent team after playing the Jets and the Browns, that last game will probably be irrelevant for them.
This is a team that doesn't really have offensive weapons, but it just doesn't matter because Lamar is so good.
Lamar has not thrown for 275 even since the 59-10 opener. But like you said, who cares? Irrelevant.
Yeah, but 222 yards and 4 touchdowns.
The truth is they do have the best, like the most balanced tight end group in the league. Brown, you know, he's not a superstar, but he's competent. Like they don't have zero weapons. Ingram somehow gets better every year.
For a quarterback to win the MVP with this group of receivers,
I agree. No, it's crazy.
The year that Cam Newton had 50 touchdowns and went to the Super Bowl, his receivers were even, or 40 touchdowns, excuse me, whatever it was, but his receivers were probably even worse that year. Although he had Greg Olsen still,
who
was a more valuable piece than anybody.
Right, Hayden Hurst.
I mean, he was better than Mark Andrews.
It is still funny they drafted Hayden Hurst and then Lamar Jackson. But they knew. They knew Lamar would be the best player in the NFL.
exactly.
All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number three.
The Bucs are a team that we think is always exciting and always has a chance, and then they just... The problem is when Jameis has one of these games where Jameis's picks look worse than like any other quarterback's picks.
Yeah, he's thrown the most passes in the NFL. Obviously, he's thrown the most interceptions. He's got incredible receivers, and big picture. What do you do if you're the Bucs about Jameis?
It's tough.
There's going to be a lot of guys floating out there this year because Eli. But just kidding. But Andy Dalton and Mariota and Teddy Bridgewater. The pool of potential free agent quarterbacks is going to be better than normal.
Yeah. I just when Andy Dalton got that contract from the Bengals years ago, some people sort of made fun of it, but Andy Dalton's ceiling is higher than Jameis's just because of the turnovers. Like, we saw
what
Andy
can
Dalton
you do with Jameis? Like, they already have offense.
Yeah, he's going to put up numbers, but the turnovers just seem to be an unsolvable problem for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he hasn't solved it by this point, after 4 or 5 years, a guy is who he is.
Staying in Florida, so number four, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. Do we have to spend a minute talking about the Dolphins?
No, let's go. What's there to say? Yeah, let's give the Chiefs 100 seconds instead.
Oh wow, we give the Chiefs extra time.
Yeah.
What did you think of that Chiefs game last night?
I mean, they made
Mahomes didn't look like himself.
Mahomes didn't look like himself.
By the way,
he threw for 182. Rivers looked abysmal. I mean, Rivers did look like himself in the fact that he should retire.
It looked like they didn't need Tyreek Hill early in the season. Right now, they clearly need Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean,
like
who?
Byron Pringle and Mecole
Hardman. Damian Williams is also out.
That matters less, I think.
Less, but at a certain point, it was like, oh, they could just fly over the field with Hunt and Hill, and then Hunt's gone, and then Hill's gone, and then Hunt's backup's gone. And it's like, all right, at a certain point, they need, yes, they won two games with Matt Moore, but they need some weapons out there. They have the weird bye week. We mistakenly said last week that only the Chiefs and your Vikings were on a bye, but the Chargers and the Cardinals are also on. There are four byes this week.
Yeah.
Weird. It's a brutal bye week in fantasy if you have the week 12 bye weeks. I mean, you should have been preparing. It's not a concern for me with Mahomes since I just got eliminated.
Well, it's especially bad in our stupid guillotine league because we accidentally made it that you had to use your idol by week 11 instead of by week 12.
Yeah. Well, I have Mahomes, but I'm out.
Which is bad for me because I have Melvin Gordon, I have Travis Kelce, I have Sammy Watkins.
Ooh, you might get you might get the Chopper-Rooney this week.
Oh, the guy who's on pace, who's projected to have the lowest score in our league, Jake Larson, he actually got immunity this week, so I am projected right now.
Oh, no. According to the Chester QBR projections.
Yeah, so not great for me.
Fast forward to January 17th or whatever. Do you have any confidence that this team could go into Baltimore, New England, and win? I don't really.
Yes.
You do? You think they're going to go into Baltimore and win?
Because we saw them do it to the Patriots last year, but for one penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw them do it to the Ravens a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that is true. Well, it was more than a couple weeks ago. There's week three.
I mean, when have they had a game?
That was when Mahomes was throwing for 400 yards every week. He hasn't done it since last week when he threw for 400.
When they have a healthy Tyreek Hill and a healthy Travis Kelce and a healthy Patrick Mahomes, and they haven't had those three guys healthy together in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
When those three guys are healthy, nothing else matters. They can win any game because they can score 40 points against any team.
No matter how far. All right, speaking of teams that Mahomes just threw for 450 against the Tennessee Titans. 5-5, very much in the mix, coming off a bye. They have four games left against the AFC South. So
very much in the mix. Can I tell you, I just updated my, my relevance rankings for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And Seattle, who is number one, drops to number four. You know, the most relevant team the rest of the season is the Tennessee
Arguably
Titans.
The most irrelevant team, from like
they were boring
picture.
To watch.
Yeah,
but now part of it is because that division's so close. So Tennessee's number one in my rankings. Houston's number two. Indy's number five.
Yes. No, the Titans don't play Houston until December 15th, week 15.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then they play them week 15, and then
17.
They play them again week
17. Yes, they play every team in the division. They play Houston twice, and their other games are at
Oakland
and New Orleans.
Well, so that's why they're
Orleans.
So high, because all these games, I mean, this week is arguably their least relevant
Right. After
game.
This, they play five teams that are currently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or
so those are all going to be
tied
for
the playoffs.
Tennessee, you know, they're playing Jacksonville this week. That's a must,
must win.
Because then they go to Indy the next week. They go to Oakland the next week. I mean, these are all... These are all toss-up games. They play Houston twice, as you said. They play New Orleans.
They could catch a sleepy New Orleans in Week 16, possibly.
No, because New Orleans is going to be fighting.
Well, but
New
Orleans could be sleepy. Like, they were sleepy, you know, last week even.
I don't know what sleepy means.
Like,
were they sleepy last week, or are the post-bye Falcons just, you know...
They're a force to be reckoned with. Yeah, they'd be... Yeah. Post-bye Falcons would make the playoffs in the AFC. So the Niners, do you think... I mean, the Niners could... First of all...
Is this our next minute?
Yeah, the Niners are our next minute. Packers...
Wow. We need a bell or something to
I'm
indicate
sorry.
When
I'll ask Rob to send us a bell. Packers, Ravens, yeah. Saints, Falcons, Rams, Seahawks. That's a brutal schedule, especially if you think the Falcons are good. That's no team that's not good. I mean, I don't think the Falcons are good, but...
For San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but let's say they somehow... You know, let's say they win that last game against Seattle, so they have a bye. Possibly the one seed. I don't think they're going to have the one seed, because listen to that schedule.
That's in Seattle. They already lost at home.
Yeah. I mean, it was a
closest
game of the
whole year. And that's
a game
that Seattle's going to have to win. Seattle's going to be playing to win that game.
Yeah, Seattle could be playing for, you know, a playoff spot or who knows.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is anybody going to be scared going to San Francisco? Like, every team that's going to play them is going to have a better quarterback than Jimmy G in the playoffs. Like, Breeze, Rodgers, whoever comes out of the NFC East. Except for,
Cousins they've had two toss-ups against the Cardinals in the last 3 weeks, and then their other game was a loss to Seattle, so they've been very unimpressive.
We've seen it every year. Teams
the
run
only non-playoff team.
Team
they're playing on the schedule left is Atlanta, who looks like a playoff team
right
now.
Yeah, I just
said
that. But yeah.
So they're going to be tested.
Yeah. Teams run a steam. Now, they weren't like one of these fluky, you know, 8-0 teams in the sense that they demolished Carolina. They destroyed Cleveland. That's a one, you know, I think the number one or number two DVOA game of the year. They won in at the Rams easily. They won in Tampa easily. Like they weren't a fluky team that won four straight over games like one of these Bears defense teams. But nobody's
gonna
be scared.
They earned
Jimmy
their wins,
G throws
for sure.
Like eight atrocious passes a game.
Yeah, but he also, I mean, he had some good plays, you know, in that last drive. Granted, it was against Arizona, who has a bottom five defense, but still. He did what needed to be done to get the win.
All right, so the Chicago Bears are going to ruin our Thanksgiving. The Bears meltdown, Bears fans meltdown on Twitter has been fun all year.
I cannot understand like the benching, and now they claim it wasn't a benching. They claim he was hurt. Now they claim that he's the starter as long as he's healthy. Like, what was the 60-second whisper about on the sideline? Like, the lies. I think Nagy has completely lost this team. He has gone crazy by kickers. Now he's gone crazy by quarterbacks. Like, he doesn't seem to have the mental, the emotional temperament to be a head coach in the NFL.
I think Nagy's gone. I think he's...
It's crazy, because a year ago he was coach of the year. Everybody was in love with him.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's just lost everybody. I don't know if he's lost the locker room.
Do you think he's literally... Like, I think he should be fired. Do you think he literally will be? I don't think he will.
Yeah, if they go 6-10, if they... I mean, their schedule ends Dallas, Green Bay, Kansas City, Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, you know, the answer could be... Now, they get a nice break. Like, they could easily get to 6-6 and have a little bit of hope. You know, 10-6, you know...
Easily 6-6. They're not going to be favored on Thanksgiving in Detroit.
They just...
Even with Driscoll. Driscoll's looked, you know, feisty 2 weeks
I mean, they just beat Driscoll. Obviously, that's not an automatic win, but gun to your head, I think you're going to pick the Bears to win that game against Driscoll.
I'm not sure.
Would you be more comfortable if it was Chase Daniel? Anyway, the point is, if they beat the Giants and Lions, which is obviously feasible, then, you know...
Great. They're 6-6, and then what?
No.
What game are they winning from that point?
No, none. But at least, like, you know, you're a fan. You want to play meaningful games in December. They'd at least have that. The Los Angeles Chargers are probably not going to play meaningful games in December. They have to win out after
this bye. So you're saying that the Chicago Bears, who are currently
4-6, but yeah.
are going to be playing meaningful games in December?
Well, if they go... Not literally meaningful, but they won't be, like, the bottom of Chester's relevance rankings.
Yeah.
Until you lose your seventh game in the NFC, you're not eliminated. Until you lose your eighth game in the AFC, you're not eliminated.
I'm not sure.
Every year you're like, the sixth seed's going to be 12-3-1. I figured it out.
Yeah,
and then it doesn't happen.
That,
it does. You know it doesn't happen.
I mean, in the Bears' circumstance, because they're playing the Vikings in week 17, and because if they were to beat the Vikings, then they would have the sweep over the Vikings. So I guess the Bears are a team that could make it a 10-6.
Yeah. All right. We were supposed to talk
Carolina. Carolina can't make it a 10-6.
All right. We were supposed to talk about the LA Chargers for a minute. Sorry to their fan.
Oh. No, their season's over. Even though they're in the crappy AFC.
Well, I did say, you know, you got, so can they win 5 in a row? Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Oakland, KC. Obviously not.
It's, I mean, it's, well, I wouldn't say obviously not. They beat the Packers already.
If they were good. If they, this was like a vintage. Now, I'll say this. The LA Chargers have lost 0 games by more than 7 points all year.
Yes.
0.
I just said that.
Yeah. 6-3-7, a blowout against Miami. 7-7-3-1, a blowout against Green Bay somehow. 2-7. I mean, every game they play is close. But so maybe they're not as bad as we think. But man, Rivers kind of sucked.
Now, well, did you see that tweet last night?
Which
from
one?
From yours truly? So some guy tweeted at me. And he
oh, yeah,
said,
Rivers has the most
interceptions. Nelson Brandon said a pick
that's
to
Nelson
end the
from
game
Denver.
Needs to be named. Oh, no, that's Nelson Dismuk, I thought.
Not everyone uses their last name on Twitter. I believe he's the same guy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. All right, Nelson. A pick to end a game needs to be named the Full Rivers or the Rivers Nightcap. So he says to me.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. Since 1994, which is when we have play-by-play data, I looked up every single interception in the last 2 minutes or overtime thrown by a team that's losing, has the ball, and is within one score at the time.
Yeah.
There's been 539 such interceptions. Phillip Rivers has 16, two more than any other quarterback.
Yeah. No, good call. Listen, if you live in an AFC West city, you've seen it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the River Special.
All right,
yeah.
Speaking of
Phillip
AFC
Rivers
West.
Rivers is twice as many as Eli. Yeah. That shocked me.
Yeah. Speaking of Denver, 3-7 Broncos. Can they win out? Buffalo, Chargers, Houston, Kansas City, Detroit, and Oakland. Go 6-0.
No. No.
Yeah. The
Broncos, their defense is okay.
Yeah.
But they suck, honestly. Like, the Vikings didn't try, had literally everything go wrong, could possibly go wrong, fumbled a kickoff, fumbled two punts, had just everything comically go wrong. We're losing 20-0. Mm-hmm. And I still picked the Vikings to win at that point in the various WhatsApp groups. I said, call me Omar, I think the Vikings are going to win this game. The Broncos are not good. They suck. I'm sorry. Brandon Allen is better than, like, Kyle Allen and Ryan Finley and these other nobody quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's semi-competent. But Cortland Sutton, by the way, is a beast. But they don't have a second receiver.
Yeah.
And look, if they win in Buffalo this week, I guess I'll have to change my tune. But I don't think they're going to win in Buffalo this week. I don't think they're going to beat the Chargers the next week. And so, you know, 3-7 is quickly becoming 3-9.
Yeah, the Allen Bowl. Did you listen to what do you think of the guy who paid $91,000 to be on the Bill Simmons podcast?
He was fine, you know.
I thought it was a little. I mean, he definitely wasn't like weird or awkward. Like, they were fine with him.
Yeah, he was like sort of a little bit of a rich guy douchebag. Yeah. But like, that's what you expect from a guy who's paying that much money to do
that. Totally. Third straight.
He wasn't great guessing games against the spread.
No, but he was competent. He wasn't like
you,
But it would have been funny if a guy was like 14. You know what I mean? Like, if he was just didn't know what he was doing. That's a hard game for.
Yeah. Well, I realize, like, because, you know, you and I are in the 99.9th percentile of like sports nerddom. Mm-hmm. I realize, like, the average sports fan is like so far removed. Let me give you an example. So a mutual friend of ours who let me give you a clue. He's a guy who did not want his name mentioned when he came to one of our food tastings. So he asked somebody who he knew had bet on the Arizona San Francisco game. He said, "Oh, what was the spread in that game?"
Mm-hmm.
And so the person told him, and then he said, "Oh, I thought it was going to be 3.5." Why would you think the San Francisco 49ers with the best record in football would be a 3.5-point favorite at home against Arizona?
Right, not everybody knows everything. Yeah.
And he says, well, because last time they played, it was a 3-point game.
Okay. There's some logic that he remembered that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a guy who doesn't always use the logic. So, no, that's true. Credit to him there. But, so my point is just I realize, like, people, like, have totally, are totally, totally skewed.
Yeah. No, for sure. All right. Staying in the AFC West, the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. Okay.
I mean, I don't want to get off the Gruden sucks bandwagon, but like, you know, he obviously Derek Carr looks, you know, you made fun of Derek Carr last week. Derek Carr's a Pro Bowler right now.
Yeah, I'd say like half of it is that the talent is there. Like, they do have good players.
I mean, if they had Antonio Brown, a non-crazy Antonio Brown on this offense right now.
No, for sure. They would be. They would be.
Jacobs is really good. Waller's really good.
Yeah.
If they had Antonio Brown, it's not impossible they could do something.
Yeah, because Tyrell's the number two. You know, and then they move all those other guys down, the Renfros of the world.
Yeah. I mean, could this team do something in the playoffs? Is it possible?
It is really nuts because Antonio Brown, like, thought he was going to greener pastures. What a dummy.
Yeah. Could Oakland go to Houston and win on Saturday?
Yeah, of course. Houston looked atrocious last week. Wild card weekend? Like, if that's the 4-5? Yeah, yeah. For sure they could. That wouldn't be a blowout, I don't think. No.
Okay.
Oh, you mean if Oakland went in this scenario? Yeah,
I was very wrong.
Division?
I thought Houston Baltimore's game of the week. And No, Oakland's a wild card. Houston's winning the division.
And Houston would be the 3 seed? Houston's not going to be a 3 seed?
It could be.
That's unlikely.
Yeah.
You have Oakland in the playoffs, right?
I have, hold on. I got
to
open
No, forget it. Just go to the Philadelphia Eagles, who we sort of already talked about.
Yeah, the Eagles are going to be favored in every single game, as I said, until I have Oakland in the playoffs. Yes, I do. Oh, by the way, I have Oakland at Houston, the 3-6 matchup that you just made fun of me for.
That doesn't make sense. Houston's not getting the 3 seed. Kansas City's getting
what?
The 3 seed.
Why? They're going to go 10-6. The Chiefs are going to go 10-6, and Houston's going to have the tiebreaker.
I mean, that would be Houston and Baltimore. That would be a big break if Baltimore gets the 2, and then the Patriots get a disastrous, you know, the Chiefs could go into New England and win. The Chiefs are, you know.
Yeah, that's Houston and Baltimore in the divisional round.
I don't know if the Patriots are going to be able to fling the ball around and play with the Chiefs.
They can't right.
Yeah,
now.
They.
I mean, even Brady's criticizing
the Pats need. Yeah, the Pats need the Texans, and they need the Chiefs and the Ravens to play each other.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns are 4-6. They are red hot. They play Miami before their rematch in Pittsburgh. It's Miami.
Hold on. I have a take here. I need a drop. Yeah. Okay, we're only like a week late. From the whole Miles Garrett.
Freddie Kitchen is the best coach in the NFL.
You were fast asleep when it happened, I see.
Fast
right?
asleep. I woke up. I assumed that the stadium had burned down.
I enjoyed it so much.
I know. I have to say, and I told you this, just because of how crazy, I woke up to a message from you, we got to record an emergency podcast. When you see that, you have to assume, many homicides happened or a team blew, a 51. So, if I was watching live, I would have been this is amazing. But having set the standard so high, I was so underwhelmed by what I saw.
Ah, sorry. Look, we didn't get to see the Malice at the Palace live.
We did not get to see it live.
Because it was a Friday night.
No.
By the way, catching up on it Saturday night, I remember that Motsi Shabbos. I remember trying, and this is before you could find
it was before YouTube.
You
could
on Twitter.
I think it was ESPN.com we were watching clips on.
It was very hard. Yeah, so just it was more like reading the narrative descriptions.
No,
of it.
I think
like
we were. I remember watching videos.
I remember watching.
I was at Ellie Grocco's house and was calling up people to watch. And what was weird, they got the paper Saturday morning, and the paper did not explain it well. It must have the New York Times is there was a fight, but it didn't say they went into the stands and punched people in the face. They must have put, because why is the Pacers Pistons game on the cover of the, of the New York Times sports section?
Yeah. No, you needed a whole special section with tons of pages of pictures.
Yeah.
And,
they did not explain it.
Yeah. But here's the part I don't like is now people are saying, Mason Rudolph started it. No, Mason Rudolph didn't start it. There was 8 seconds left in a game that was already decided. Mason Rudolph had already thrown the ball, and Myles Garrett decided to pile drive him into the field. That's a part of football. I understand that, but that should have been a 15-yard penalty and throw Garrett out of the game there. So Myles Garrett started it with a egregious late hit.
Yeah.
Then Mason Rudolph responded by grabbing at Garrett's helmet. I don't know what he was doing, but he had a reason to be pissed right there. Right. If I'm Marquise Pouncey, I go and I start kicking Myles Garrett in the helmet.
I feel
right
bad
there.
For Pouncey because obviously he has to respond, and it doesn't matter if he gets suspended. You have to.
I think he has to be fined, but he should not be suspended 3 games. That's crazy.
I think it'll be a cut.
Your job as an offensive lineman is to defend your quarterback.
I think Pouncey gets cut
attacked.
From 3-1. Now it'll be interesting because I don't know who's hearing that when James Thrash was sort of a wide receiver special teamer or Brooks, who I wonder Brooks might side with the defense. It is funny that
you need
an
offensive lineman there. You're saying.
Yeah. He needs a big O lineman there. The defense is going to be like, no. Myles Garrett is was justified. He should Garrett's suspension could get revoked and not Pouncey's if from a defender. We got to go to the Carolina Panthers, one of the most boring teams in the NFL right
we're
now.
Still doing the minutes. My one other thing is I love the fact that the NFL literally has a rule in their rule book.
Yeah.
Which explicitly states that you cannot take someone else's helmet
and use it a weapon.
It.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, the rule book is very concise. There's a rule. There's
concise. No, it's not concise
it's
at all.
It's very thorough. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very thorough. Yeah.
5-5 Panthers play the Saints, Redskins, Falcons, Seattle, Indianapolis, and the Saints again. So.
No, the Panther season is
it's over.
That
I
loss
mean,
to Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, now, if you beat New Orleans this week.
In terms of my relevance rankings, where the Panthers went all the way down, the Cowboys went all the way up.
Now, because you do have Washington and Atlanta, in theory, if you won this week in New Orleans, they are very relevant because you could also catch New Orleans sleeping again. You know, let's say they'd clinched the division or locked into the 2 spot or something, and we were, the 3 spot in week 17.
Well, but hold on a second. First of all, Atlanta, in Atlanta, is a game that they're going to be massive on.
No, I agree. Well, I wouldn't say massive, but yeah, no, I'm not saying they will.
I would say massive. They will be like 10. I mean, Kyle Allen, and I'm glad because I was really annoyed in the early weeks when they kept winning games and people were like, oh, Kyle Allen's so great and he's better than Cam Newton. They weren't winning because of Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
They were winning despite Kyle Allen. They were winning because of their defense. And now Kyle Allen looks like the worst quarterback in the NFL. So I'm glad that the people are finally off his idiotic bandwagon, and I'm glad people are done talking about how he's better than Cam because that was deeply offensive. First of all, they're going to lose to New Orleans. They're going to get blown out this week, so it's irrelevant.
Yeah, if they get blown out this week, it's over. All right, 3-6-1 Detroit
if
Lions.
If they were somehow to go into New Orleans and win, and I did see Carolina go into New Orleans and win a game once upon a time in person, then you're right. Then they play Washington the next week, so then all of a sudden they'd be 7-5 going into Atlanta. So, but they're not going to. They're going to lose this week, and they're going to be officially eliminated. So, unofficially.
3-6-1 They have Washington, so they're going to be 4-6-1 probably. I mean, it was one of the the spread was sort of easy, but man. Detroit, Washington, if they lose that game, and they were chanting sell the team when Washington was getting smoked by the Jets this week.
Well, it was hard to keep the chant going, though, because there was no one.
There was no one there. But if they, I mean, there's going to be no one there this week either. But, man, if they lose at home to Jeff Driscoll, it's gonna get ugly for all 50 fans. I mean, Snyder will never sell the team. Snyder is a Trump-esque
I mean, I don't mean to offend you, but Jeff Driscoll's Lions are still better than Sam Darnold's Jets.
I mean, the Jets went in there and paced the Redskins. So if that's true, then
yeah,
you should.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You're like, oh,
you should bet your life on the Lions. Then the Jets were up 31-3 or 7, whatever it was for deep into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So the Lions should be able to do the same if they're so good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they will. It just Dwayne Haskins. You know, he did have that one pretty throw that didn't count.
Didn't
to
count.
Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
But he's still he I cannot fathom how he was a top 15 pick right now.
It's weird because like they have a lot of above average allegedly offensive linemen. Obviously they don't have Trent Williams, but like they have a lot of guys who can play. It's crazy how the Jets had a safety get 3 sacks. Like they were just literally letting him in, and you saw the clip where he's saying like, "What can I do to help you guys?"
Does Snyder have a lockdown in the 32nd spot in owner rankings right now?
Yeah, there's nobody close.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, like, there's nobody close. Like, Cleveland is trying. Like, they're incompetent, but they're, you know what I mean? They're, like, they are trying. Like, maybe Freddie won't work. At least Baker Mayfield is, like, something of something. And, you know, the Jets don't even have
their I don't know if Jimmy Haslam is getting credit for Baker Mayfield being something.
No, I'm just saying, but, like, at least there's something to look forward to. Like, the Redskins have nothing. And maybe they'll get the first pick. You could that's not a great division. You could pretty easily get to the top of it with one really great guy. But also,
who's
going to sign with
Haslam,
them?
I guess the Bengals. Which other team's ownership is just like,
Well, it's interesting. Right, like, with we have not talked about the Bengals yet. So when we get there, we could talk about the Bengals. So the Seahawks are 8-2. Are they a great 8-2? No, they just won 2 overtime games. By the way, their 2 were to New Orleans and Baltimore, arguably the second and third best teams in the NFL. So their losses aren't bad, but they're not blowing anybody out, right? Do they have a blowout win all year? Yes, against Arizona. Yeah. That's it. That's not the sign of a great team. As you bragged last week, Minnesota is going to kill Denver. Minnesota crushes bad teams. They did.
If they had been flexed, they would have had 3 consecutive night games coming up.
Yeah, I mean, the road, a lot of key roads these next 3 weeks lead through Russell Wilson, Philly, Minnesota, and the Rams, but then it really softens with Carolina and Arizona, especially Carolina could be toast.
Well, I think they're very lucky because coming into last week, we thought of Carolina as a playoff caliber team. Seattle at Carolina, they would have been underdogs in that game.
Yeah, but Carolina could have packed it in at that point. McCaffrey could have a.
So I guess as a Vikings fan, I want to root for Carolina to beat New Orleans this week so that they, but it just, I don't know what their answer is at quarterback, but Kyle Allen clearly isn't it. So. Christian McCaffrey, by the way.
Yeah.
What a waste of a season.
Yeah, listen, I know all about wastes of great seasons. I'm a Mets fan. We just had the freaking rookie of the year in Cy Young. We didn't make the playoffs when 5 teams make the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, so the Saints, they're 8-2. They have Carolina, Atlanta, the Niners, the Colts, Titans, and Panthers. So really soft the second half. It's not a terrible schedule.
I don't agree. I think they're going to be – will they be underdogs at Atlanta next Thursday night?
If Atlanta plays then they will be –
Could a 9-2 team playing a 4-7 team be an underdog with everyone?
If Atlanta smokes, who's Atlanta playing in this week?
Atlanta's playing Tampa.
Yeah, if Atlanta smokes Tampa, then it's possible.
Atlanta goes into New Orleans, blows them out. Goes into Carolina, demolishes them, and then comes home and beats Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, they just lost this team at home by 17. So people are going to be very hesitant to.
By the way, will Atlanta go 6-0 in their division? and finish 6-7.
That would be funny. I mean, listen, that game also gets, even though Atlanta's toast, obviously, that game has a lot more pizzazz if Atlanta is in on a win and like, wow, the white hot Falcons.
Yeah, it's good because a couple weeks ago it looked like the end of Thanksgiving was going to be a snoozer, and now that'll be a great game.
Yeah, and also, and those teams
and
hate
you know,
each other.
It was not on the podcast last week. I edited out, but we're eating an early Thanksgiving dinner, so I'll be home to watch that whole game.
Oh, you are eating an early Thanksgiving dinner? What about the second dinner?
Well, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. But we don't have to get into that.
Okay. Hopefully your marriage will survive Thanksgiving. Okay. That was the Saints. All right. We're on team 18, the Dallas Cowboys.
18? That's it?
Yeah. You keep talking. You can't stop talking. I'm trying to stop you. All right.
You got to enforce your back.
All right. I do agree that – can you think of a bigger game if your whole job was to sell commercials? You were in ad sales for, you know, CBS for Fox. There's no bigger game than Dallas-New England. In the NFL.
Yeah, I'm very happy with my Dak takes of the preseason, which you and others made fun of.
Yeah, no, I was wrong. I mean, listen, yes, he has all day to throw. I saw what happens when Darnold has all day to throw last week. Other than one interception, he can also shred teams. But yeah, Dak is throwing for 420 yards a game the last two games.
Now, I will say that when you compare Dak to the other quarterbacks with elite statistical seasons, you know, Russell Wilson has two interceptions, Patrick Mahomes has two interceptions, Aaron Rodgers has two interceptions, Kirk Cousins has three interceptions, Lamar Jackson has five interceptions, Dak has nine.
Nine, with a much better offensive line with way more time to throw. He's not in those guys league at all.
So the nine.
If you talk about Dak for MVP, you're insane.
But hold on. But his yards per attempt is leading the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. His completion percentage is like fourth or fifth in the NFL. So he's having a very good season.
No, he's obviously really good. He's having a Pro Bowl level season, but he has some benefits that Deshaun Watson does not have. Yeah. All right, New England Buffalo on Thanksgiving. They have two Thursday night games in a row at Chicago. And then
who?
The Dallas, and then Los Angeles, Philly, Washington.
Yeah, I
imagine
like
if they just have
Thursday
to play. Imagine how bad Washington would be in Week 17. They'll be on their fourth interim coach. Dan Snyder might actually be coaching. Like the linemen will be refusing to block for Dwayne Haskins at that point. Maybe they should Do you just go back to Keenum at this point? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they should be going. Keenum's been like solid. Keenum's been like slightly
better.
Keenum
is not the worst quarterback in the NFL. Dwayne Haskins is the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Ryan Finley's worse and Kyle Allen's worse.
That's true.
But
remember the beginning of the year, we're like, this is a golden era. Nobody's got a bad quarterback. It's crazy. 6-4.
Well, there are 32 good quarterbacks. They're not evenly distributed amongst
the
teams.
That is true.
Right? Like Bridgewater, Mariota are much better than these guys.
Yeah. Teddy B is going to be really in demand after this year. So the 6-4, staying in Texas, 6-4 Houston Texans. They have three home games in a row, but they're the Colts, Patriots, and Broncos. And then they go to Tennessee, they go to Tampa, they host Tennessee. So they really only have one game that they're not either going to be a favorite or like a, 1-2 point underdog in.
They have one gimme game, you're saying, which is at home against Denver, but that's what the Vikings thought and look what happened. So,
yeah, I mean, Houston, Tennessee, the division's going to come down to Houston, Tennessee if they beat Indianapolis this week.
Yeah, I still think Houston, Tennessee is going to be the flex game as of right now, just because, although,
remember, Indy won
context.
This game in
Akiva,
Indy.
We got to propose the NFC East Week 16, Week 17 swap. It's brilliant.
It is really good. I'm going to call up. Do you know people in the league office?
Yeah, but not on the
I don't know if
side.
The league cares about it. Remember a few years ago that they didn't even have the flex game? They're like, there's no relevant game, so there's no reason to have the Sunday night game, and they took it off NBC.
Do they but that's doesn't NBC automatically get a game or no?
But one year they didn't because there was no game that was worth it for NBC.
Well, but there is. But right now, again, there might not be a game. The way
why does it matter to them if that game, which is huge anyway, and is going to do Buffalo numbers in Week 16? Like, why does it matter if they push to Week 17? That would, if I'm Roger Goodell. I'm taking a second away from like making sure that my.
By the way, we skipped our minute on the Dolphins, but can we bring it back? Breaking news.
Mark Walton got cut and arrested.
Yeah,
what did he do?
Great. His 5-week pregnant girlfriend, after discovering that he was the father, he punched her several times in the face and head.
You knew it was really bad because they cut him press statement. Like they didn't even have to get pressured.
That's like pretty horrifying.
Jeez. Well, I mean, I didn't have Walton. Was he doing well in fantasy? Was he fantasy relevant?
No. I mean, well, he was technically the starter because of the injuries to other guys,
stuff, right?
But
yeah. I mean, he'll never play again. Good. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. But I mean, Kareem Hunt's playing again, so.
Kareem Hunt kicked a woman he didn't know. And some people think she called him the N-word. You know what I mean?
No, I didn't know
much different than than punching your pregnant girlfriend.
You know what's not a great thing to do on a podcast?
What?
Ranking various forms
of abuse. No, Kareem, it wasn't domestic abuse, though. I'm not saying what he did was right, but like Kareem Hunt, like, you know, didn't punch his pregnant girlfriend. Baltimore, Arizona, Seattle, Dallas, San Francisco, Arizona. So they played the Cardinals twice. The Rams suck.
Who are we talking
the
about?
Rams. The Rams. They suck, but they get the Cardinals twice.
Well, the problem the is that Jared Goff sucks. Jared Goff is as bad, if not worse, than Mitchell Trubisky, except that
would you rather have Darnold or Goff?
The Rams have already committed to him.
Would you rather have Darnold or Goff?
Oh, Darnold, for sure.
For this season, not just like for the next 3 years.
Well, because if I'm getting Sean McVay,
yeah, Darnold with McVay would probably be
without a doubt.
Yeah, that's true.
If I was the Rams and I could trade straight up Sam Darnold for Jared Goff right now, I would do it. Jared Goff sucks. You know what? If I was the Rams and I could trade Mitch Trubisky for Jared Goff, I would.
Should they go to the boat? Should they go to Blake Bortles?
I mean, they did for like that one play 2 weeks ago. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
I think Jared Goff really sucks. And you know, just to go back to Trubisky for a second, Trubisky's value last season and, you know, earlier this season was in using his legs. I don't know why he doesn't do that at all anymore.
Oh, so here's the list of quarterbacks they have to play. Lamar, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Jimmy G, Kyler Murray. I mean, that's rough. Like, those aren't amazing, you know, the schedule because Arizona's not great and they play them twice. Yeah. But, I mean, they don't have any games.
I mean, who would have thunk that even a month ago? Who would have thunk that the Rams at home would be underdogs to the Ravens?
Man,
no. Granted, the Rams don't really have much of a home field advantage, but still.
All right, the Atlanta Falcons. We sort of talked about them already. Do you have anything else to say about the Falcons?
Yeah, they're just. I think they're going to keep on winning. They're going to beat Tampa this week. I think they're going to beat New Orleans the next week. Right, they're going to beat Carolina the next week. I mean, those are three straight home divisional games, and we just saw what they can do on the road in the division. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be 6-7. I think, you know, they're. I think that my over of 8.5 for Atlanta, if that were to hit when this team was 1-7, that'd be like a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's definitely possible. Now, where do they go in Week 15? In Week 15, they who are they playing Week 15?
My schedule.
Oh, they're playing San Francisco on the road. I mean, they could win that. They can win anybody, right? Then they play Jacksonville at home. Yeah, you know what? Should I pick the Falcons to run the table? I don't know if they're going to go into San Francisco. That's probably the toughest.
And that would be
9-7.
But
they
seven?
Went into New Orleans, so yeah, well, that would be
AFC.
Nuts.
All right,
from 1-7 to 9-7.
The New York Giants. So that,
by the way, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm annoyed if that happens because you know I used to have this when like Mike Tyson would make these late season runs. Like you want Dan Quinn gone,
right?
So you don't want them to win 8 games in a row because then they can't fire Dan.
I don't think Quinn's getting fired. Like I mean, if they totally collapse even more, like he will. But I think right now, if they had to make a decision, I think Quinn stays.
So if they go 6-10. Which means they end the season on a 5-3 run. He stays.
I think 6-10. He's got a shot. Yeah, 6-10. He has a real shot.
You got to fire him at 6-10. If you go to 7-9, which means you won 6 out of
the Giants. I think like the Bears will be even further in the misery after they realize like Daniel Jones is also way better than Trubisky.
Do you think the Giants are going to win in Chicago?
I'm just saying Jones is going to outplay Trubisky.
Well, is Trubisky even playing? Are they going to have an excuse and claim he's hurt so Chase Daniel can play?
I don't know. I think Trubisky's going to play. I got nothing else to say about the Giants. The Green Bay Packers, 23.
We're talking about how there's so many good Monday night games left, and there really are, except that unfortunately, and this is the only bad one left, but the Giants are marring Monday night on week 14. So
against who?
It's too bad. Against the Eagles.
Imagine if there was Giants-Washington left. That game would be unplayable. I mean, at least the Giants have fantasy guys. All right. The Green Bay Packers. The Packers' final record will be?
11-5.
Okay, so you have them as the sixth seed?
No, 12-4. 12-4.
Does that make them
11-5? Is my wishful thinking, but objectively, I'll say 12.
12-4, meaning they're winning the division.
Yes.
And what's the Vikings' final record?
11-5.
And is that the 3-6 game?
No, the Packers are going to be the 2 seed according to my.
Oh, okay. And
the Vikings are going to be the 5.
And the Saints are the 3, or the NFC West team is going to be the 3.
Wait, how would the who would the Saints? The Saints would be the 3. Yeah. Because I have the Saints also 12-4, but losing a tiebreaker to the Packers.
I don't know. The NFC playoffs are going to be unbelievable. As long as no QBs get hurt.
But, I mean, the Vikings-Packers game in Week 16, by the way, all the more reason, now that's the Monday Nighter, but that game is going to be, if the Vikings win it, then they would both be 11-4, right? Or they'd both be 11-4 going into Week 17. So, wait a second. So then why do I have the Vikings?
What's your Week 17 night game right now?
I got to look at them. Oh, no, I have the Vikings. My Week 17 night game, I said it's Tennessee at Houston by default, but I think Tennessee could be eliminated. So
yeah, I do think CBS, NBC would not even bother. They'd be like, all right.
Yeah, well, they need to do the NFC East swap Week 16 to 17.
All right, we're calling up Goodell. I'm like, who do we need to talk to? I literally, you have connections.
I mean, I know someone in the commissioner's office. It's like 17 steps removed from you, though.
Can you send them this email? Or was it unprofessional?
Listen, well, also, because I'm a lawyer for like opposing, I'm opposing counsel, I'm a lawyer for a team. So it's not, you know, on a, it would be unprofessional.
Okay. All right.
To send an email.
Yeah.
To say it as like a joke at the beginning of a conference call, I could get away with.
Yeah.
That I can.
All right. So let's skip Washington and let's talk for 2 minutes about your Vikings at 25.
Okay.
So the Vikings, wait, let's play out the NFC playoff picture. So you have the Vikings as the, as the sixth seed going where in the playoffs?
I guess they go to New Orleans. Replay of the Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah, and they lose that game probably.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be underdogs. But I really, the Vikings, the only team that the Vikings I really think can't beat is a team with an elite defense, and that's not New Orleans.
But there is no elite defense in the NFC. The Saints have the best defense of the NFC playoff teams that you guys could play.
I mean,
you were more afraid of Green Bay just because they have a pass rush?
No, I'm not afraid of
Green
Bay.
Then who are you afraid of? What defense are you afraid of? It's not going to,
honestly,
it's not Dallas or Philly.
The only team that I'm really afraid of in the NFC, and I'm being completely serious, is the Chicago Bears.
I mean, first of all, I misspoke. Obviously, the Niners have an elite defense, so
yeah,
why aren't you afraid of them?
I am more afraid of the Bears than I am of any other team in the NFC.
That's funny.
It's really
the Bears showed us what they were in week one. They, like, their defense, which...
And by the way, the Vikings are going to lose in week 17 at home to the Bears. I'm telling you, just like last year.
Yeah,
in a game that means
nothing
for
them. You've been saying that all year. All right, the Colts at 26. Do you have the Colts
26?
In the playoffs?
What do you mean? What do you mean 26?
Like, that's our 26 team. I've been...
In your sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, that's very low for power rankings.
Yeah.
No, the Colts... I think the Colts are going to finish 8-8 now.
Okay, so the Colts missed
I have the Raiders making it right now.
Right, you have the Raiders and the Bills and the Texans, but not the Colts or the Titans. No, you have the Titans.
No, I don't. I have the Titans out of... I have the Titans at 7-9.
Oh, you just have them relevant. You don't have them. Okay.
I have them playing week 17 because there's nobody else. Because, you know.
All right. If the Bengals go 0-16, does Zach Taylor keep his job?
My preseason pick for coach of the year, you mean Zach Taylor?
We got good odds on it.
Yeah. He wasn't my pick. I said he was a good bet for a long shot. I said, hey, they can win 8 games. Does he lose his job at 0-16? But, I mean, they're trying to lose, right? They bench Andy Dalton. Ryan Finley makes Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen look like, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So, but remember, they don't fire guys. So, like, I feel like if he wins one game, that's enough for him. Just like it seemed like Flores, the one win.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Lewis was around for, 12 years? Yeah,
before they noticed that he hadn't won a playoff game.
Yeah, so there's no chance that Taylor's going
to if he wins one game, he's safe. I think if he goes 0-16, then they might cut bait.
So which one is it? Does he beat the Dolphins?
Probably the Jets.
I mean, the Jets look decent.
I mean, the Jets aren't good enough to, like, oh, they're a lock against the Bengals.
They're going
to
be favored on the road.
Oh, yeah, they'll be favored in that game. All right, the Jaguars, 28. The Jaguars are the Bears of the AFC. Obviously, they have a better quarterback. You know, Foles and Minshew are better than anyone the Bears have. But it's like the defense is, you know, pretty good. Not as good as you know, either last year or 2 years ago. But the offense isn't up to snuff.
Yeah. Now, if the problem is that Indy and Houston, one of them is going to have 7 wins at the end of this week. So, you know, if Jacksonville were to win this week against Tennessee, then those teams are both 5-6. They're both alive. But, you know, for Jacksonville to stay relevant, they need to get a win this
Tennessee,
week.
Tampa, and the Chargers... They could go into that Raiders game at 7-6. It's not unthinkable. Oakland, Atlanta, Indianapolis. Like, don't count them out yet. I mean, count them out because they're bad, because they just got blown out by...
Yeah, I mean, no one in this division is going to win more than 10 games
They just
max.
Got blown out by the two good teams in their division.
Yeah, not ideal.
No, that's not ideal at all. And they've already been swept by Houston, so they don't have a lot of tiebreakers.
Yeah, I wish they'd go back to Minshew. I don't know what they're doing with Foles. I mean, they have that guaranteed money, so they got to pay him, but...
All right, my beloved Jets.
Let's put it this way. Is Nick Foles going to be the starting quarterback the next time the Jaguars win a playoff game? The answer is obviously not.
Probably not, but I don't know what year that
was. Is Minshew? Maybe.
Yeah.
Could they trade Foles in the offseason to, like, the Bucks?
Do you think the Jets are going to beat the Raiders this week? This could be the first of our picks.
Yes. Oakland traveling across the country. I was way off on this line, by the way. I actually thought the Jets would be favored. So I guess that gives away my game. I thought the Jets would be favored by 1. The Raiders are favored by 3. I'm going to pick the Jets. That's my upset special.
Okay. Can you update us on our $1 billion picks from last week?
Yeah, you're at $1.2 billion. You won $100 million on each of these.
Okay.
We did this at the beginning of this podcast.
Okay. I wasn't listening.
And I'm at $500 million. I lost half my money on the Eagles.
Oh, jeez. You're in trouble. The Arizona Cardinals at 30. They are one of the most...
Wait, what's your pick on the Jets-Raiders game?
I think the Raiders are going to win. I don't think the Jets can block the Raiders. The Jets are if Beecham, who's their only even league average offensive lineman, came back after a few games out and got re-hurt, you know, re-injured again, like every guy on their team has been. So they're down to their worst line. They're like top four linemen are out, and like a lot of their backups. They're literally signing guys off the street and like playing them. They're the lines.
Yeah, let me ask you a question as a Jets fan for a second, who's, you know, watched every minute of this team's season so far. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, you know, the current regime did not want him there, and the style of run he plays is different than Gase's offense. Mm-hmm. But still, he's averaging, like, you know, 3.1 or whatever yards a carry. Yeah. He's been
Bilal Powell looked better.
He's been decent for fantasy, but, you know, running, he's been terrible. Does he have anything left, or is it, if he goes somewhere else, could he still be a good running back?
Yeah, like he can't be a 22. He can't be like Saquon, but first of all, he's a very good pass catcher. So, like, he's still going to be useful for, like, five more years. Like, his NFL career is not going to be over anytime soon. But yeah, Bilal Powell looked much friskier last week than Le'Veon Bell. Bilal Powell was like essentially retired 3 months ago. All right. So the Cardinals are 3-7-1. The good thing about the Cardinals is at least they're bad. They're exciting. They're off this week, but
they could have won either one of those San Francisco games.
They're going to factor into playoff races on both sides of the conferences, because other than their Cleveland game in week 15, they have the Rams twice, the Steelers and the Seahawks.
Yeah, Pittsburgh could go into there and lose, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Browns could go into there.
This
and
is very
lose,
weird.
Obviously.
After the bye, they have three straight home games, the Rams, Steelers, and Browns, and then go on the road to the two non-Niners teams. Where they just play the Niners for the two non-Niners divisional teams. Weird schedule. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Vikings end the season with essentially four straight home games. So,
what do you mean essentially? Oh, because
they have three home games and then a game against the Chargers.
Oh, okay, fine. The LA team. All right, so this Pittsburgh Steelers final record will be?
I'm going to say the Steelers will be 7-9.
I mean, the schedule is pretty sweet. Cincy, Cleveland, Arizona, Buffalo, and the Jets the next 5 weeks. That's it. That could easily be 4-1.
Yeah, but at Arizona is a toss-up at best.
Right, Cleveland right, they're not
probably
much better
the favorite
than
at home.
They just lost them pretty, you know, convincingly.
Yeah.
It's not unthinkable that they could go 4-1 and be playing in Baltimore to try.
Oh, they're
and win
definitely.
The,
yeah,
who could be locked
Pittsburgh
into the
Indy
two?
Definitely.
Baltimore could not.
Pittsburgh is
that
definitely
could be
the
RG3
race.
Versus the Steelers.
I mean, who's not in the wild card race in the AFC? Obviously, the Jets and the Dolphins.
Jets and the Dolphins and the Bengals.
The Bengals
and the Broncos. That's it.
Yeah,
I mean the Browns are.
The Broncos
aren't.
Beat Buffalo
no, the Browns
this week.
Aren't.
The Browns aren't?
Yeah, I guess.
For sure they are.
What are they, 4-6?
What are you talking about? The Browns are 500.
The Browns are 5-5? Or are they 4-6?
No, they're 4-6.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I mean, but
six.
I still, I said you want.
They're 4-6, but they're playing the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree.
They're 5-6.
So they're going to be 5-6. Fine. And they have Cincy twice still.
I mean, let's see that Cleveland goes to Pittsburgh in week 13. Mm-hmm. If Cleveland loses that game, they're out. But if they win that game, Pittsburgh's basically out because they're both 6-6, but Cleveland's got the tiebreaker with the sweep. Mm-hmm. So that's a loser leaves town match.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's a lot of good games this week. There's even more good games next week, I would argue.
Yeah, all right. So speaking of good games.
Cleveland and Pittsburgh's not an exciting game to watch. Tennessee and Indy's not an exciting game to watch.
Well, Cleveland
and
Pittsburgh might be
exciting
because there could be like an actual brawl. Like that could be really exciting. Although the brawlers are not going to be allowed
to
the stadium.
Do you think part of the reason for the three-game suspension was they don't want Pouncey in that game?
Yes, because I think if it gets cut, it could get cut to one.
Pouncey is a complete nutcase anyway.
Yes, yeah. Garrett was like, oh, I would never have thought Garrett. Like, Pouncey might show up with some friends.
Let's put it this way. When the Pouncey brothers were in college with Aaron Hernandez was like the good guy.
He tried to have a good influence on him. It is true. All right, so the last team, coincidentally, is the New England Patriots, 9-1. They play the two Texas teams next, Dallas and Houston, and then Kansas City. And then the schedule gets pretty soft with Cincy, Buffalo, and Miami to end the season. Buffalo and Miami both at home.
Yeah, but those are three fantastic games in a row that they're playing.
No, the Patriots, listen.
They did not look good against the Eagles. They really didn't. I mean, their defense looked pretty good.
They
looked
bad. The
their offense is not good.
Yeah, the defense, you're obviously not going to blame them for the Lamar thing. So other than that, they have still not allowed more than 14 points all year, which is insane. The Dallas thing will be interesting because I think they'll be able to move the ball on the Dallas defense. Almost everyone has.
Yeah.
But will they be able to completely shut down Dak? Yeah, I actually think they will. I do like their chances in this game. Houston is a little bit more of a matchup problem, but you know, I don't know.
But not really. I mean, I think, I don't know. Do you think they're going to win both games?
I think the only game they're going to lose, and you know, I'm not going to count like week 17 if they go 4-1, they'll probably be locked into the one anyway. Well,
they're going to be locked into the one seed going into Week 17, but they're still playing the Dolphins in Week
17. That's true. That's true. The backups will be able to beat Miami. But so I do think they're going to lose the Chiefs. That's the one loss I have for them going forward. So I have them at 14.
So you think they're going to hold on? So you think they're going to lose to the Chiefs at home in Week 14,
yes.
And yet you don't think the Chiefs can beat them in the playoffs in New England?
No, they could. I'd rather play Houston than the Chiefs. I mean, let's see them the next 2 weeks. Yeah. They're playing Houston on the road and the Chiefs. Let's see who they, you know, who's a good matchup. Yeah. I mean, their offense right now is not a Super Bowl champion offense. Like they, you could say they're the best team, but to me, they may be a regular season team. I don't know if this team is going to be able to move the ball in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, all they got to do to make the Super Bowl is
it was
win two
weird home how games. Mad Brady was, honestly. Like, okay, fine, you couldn't do anything. Also, like, he's such a Michael Jordan. Like, he always throws his teammates under the bus, even without saying it.
Yeah. By the way, I thought that was a great by Bill Simmons on his podcast this week, talking about how Peyton Manning always would throw his teammates under the bus, unlike Tom Brady. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, Brady literally just did it in such an absurd way. Like, even the silly question with, like, hey, what do you think about Julian Edelman's passing? It's like, just answer that, dummy. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like,
and by the way, other than Mike Vanderjagt, who did Peyton Manning throw
under
the bus?
Yeah, he's famous for the stupid kicker who like, that's insane. Yeah.
Idiot drunk who got liquored
up. Yeah, he didn't even throw Marvin Harrison was chopping up half of Philadelphia.
Well,
would
you want to threaten Marvin Harrison? Because he's a silent killer, so I'd better be careful there.
That's true. Okay. All right, I think we got to do quick picks on the Patreon podcast again.
All right, so we spent 60 seconds on each team, so it's been 32 minutes so far?
Well, you're very verbose.
Yeah, shocker there. Wait, we're not doing quick picks here? We're again sending it to the other podcast? Because our Patreon episode this week was going to be totally non-sports.
All right, fine, so let's do it. Okay, but this is half of the Patreon cast, and you get to listen to it. But sign up for the Patreon feed. Let's get to 100 people.
All right, so Indy at Houston.
And can you give me the Lions? You never gave me the Lions.
No, because we just pick winners and losers here.
Okay, fine. So we're not even saying Lions then. All right, Houston.
Well, but we got to talk about the Lions for the $1 billion, though.
Well, yeah, then tell me the Lions, moron.
Okay. Indy at Houston at 3.5.
Okay. Houston.
Okay. So then obviously you have Houston to win. Mm-hmm. All right. Tampa and...
No, I'm only saying the line if I'm picking it, but I'm just giving you my winners.
If it's $1 billion. Okay. Tampa at Atlanta, that's a 4-point spread.
Atlanta.
Yeah. I'm thinking about putting some money on that one because... I mean, Atlanta looks really good right now. I'm going to come back down. I'm going to see what my other options are. Denver at Buffalo, 5-point spread.
Definitely Buffalo to win.
Yeah. Giants at Chicago, that's 7. It's a lot of points for Trubisky Daniel.
I mean, I love the Giants to cover there. I don't want to pick the game.
There's
got to
be like a Chase Daniel pun in there, right?
Yeah.
Like the Bears defense is going to be chasing Daniel. And
jeez.
That was very bad. Sorry.
I'm going to pick the Giants to win this game.
I'm
going to
pick the Bears. Oh, wow. See, I'm going to pick the Giants to cover because the Bears don't deserve 7.
Yeah.
Right now
I'm going to take 100, put 100 mil on the Giants also at plus 7.
All right. So you're putting 100 million on the Giants, and then you're also picking them to win.
Yeah, I'm going
to
pick them to win.
Why not put the money on the money line? Then you get
we don't have that option.
We don't? Why not?
I mean, because then I'm going to have, like, dollars and cents. We need, like, whole numbers.
Well, I'll round it to the nearest. All right, whatever. Fine.
I didn't know we have that. Like, if someone wants to, like, make a whole, like, line sheet and I could, like, look through beforehand and make picks. But
all right, fine. So you're putting 100. I don't like these 100 million. Go big or go home. I mean, think about it. If you would have spent $500 million on each league last week, then you
Yeah, and if I would have spent $500 million and lost, I'd be out of money.
Yeah, but well, have confidence in your picks. You actually messaged me yesterday and said, can you go to a New Jersey casino and put
some money
on it?
Why don't we put money on it? By the way, if we had gone to New Jersey casino and put money on the Cardinals game and then that had happened and we lost, like that, there's no reason to live after that.
Yeah.
I would have had no purpose left to live.
All right, yeah, take your entire 6 months of severance. All right, Pittsburgh at Cincy, 6.5 points for Pittsburgh. You can't pick Cincy. Pittsburgh, they're trying to lose right now. You can't pick
No,
Cincy.
Can't pick Cincy.
Yeah. Miami at Cleveland, that's 10.5. That's a lot. I'm taking the points there. I'm not putting money on it.
Cleveland to win. There. I'm not putting money on either way.
Yeah. All right. Seattle at Philly, 2.5-point favorite is Philly.
Seattle to win.
I'm gonna pick Philly to win. I just Seattle's been winning all these close games. Seattle's a better team, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're coming off the bye, but. Now, part of it is Lane Johnson back or not? Because, again, like the Eagles' offense looked totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But Seattle's defense doesn't really impress me.
No, it's a very average defense, Seattle.
Yeah. I'm probably wrong here, but I've been wrong. Look, I picked the Eagles to beat the Patriots last week. I'm not going to pick them to lose to Seattle. So, Carolina at New Orleans, 9.5-point spread. Carolina's done. I think I'd even give these points.
Where is this game?
In New Orleans.
Just pick the Saints to win.
Yeah. All right. Oakland at the Jets, we already said. You're picking Oakland to win. Mm-hmm. I'm picking the Jets to win. Should I put some money on it? I'm going to think about that one. Probably a bad idea to put money on the Jets. But Detroit at Washington. It's a 3-point spread for Detroit.
Detroit Jeff to Driscoll, win. This game is the one, maybe the least watchable game of all time. It's so bad, it actually might be a good game to watch.
Yeah. Jacksonville at Tennessee. 3-point spread. Yeah. And I'm thinking of putting money there also, because Jacksonville, as you said, they've been blown out 2 games in a row again, that divisional game. So Dallas at New England, 6.5-point spread.
Dallas at New England.
I thought it was going to be a 10-point spread. I'm surprised by how close it is. But I guess you're right. Like, you know, I think the Patriots can't really take advantage of the Cowboys' poor defense. And the Cowboys have, I think, the number one offensive DVOA. So
Patriots to win. That's all I'm going for that game.
Yeah. If it was more, if it was like the 10 that I'd predicted, I would definitely be taking the point. I guess that's why it's not 10. So bad guess by me there. By the way, we had a great week in guessing the spreads. We each were correct in 7 in our head-to-head battle. Mm-hmm. You were a total of 17.5 points off. I was 17 points off, so I beat you by half a point.
Very close.
And then in the four-way battle with Bill and Sal, all four of us had 6 wins.
And they're really shook included. Right now, Bill and Sal, that we did this.
Yeah, 6-6-6-6. So pretty good there. All right, Green Bay at San Francisco. This is a 3-point spread. I thought it was going to be 2.5. I thought that, you know, because Green Bay is a public team, Green Bay coming off a bye, I'm gonna take those points. I think this is a toss-up game. San Francisco has not impressed me 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I'm taking the points also.
But I'm not going to pick Green Bay to win. I think Green Bay is a little bit overrated.
I'm going to go with the Niners, but I would take the points for sure.
Yeah, I think that the NFC has like 5 teams that are as good as, you know, that are as good as each other, but none of them are elite in the way.
Are they as good as the Rams were last year? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
The Rams in the playoffs or the Rams in the regular season? The Rams in the regular season, no.
Yeah, certainly not
by
the Rams
playoffs, players. Obviously. Yeah. All right. And then Baltimore at the aforementioned Rams. Again, I guess this game was going to be a pick. I just couldn't believe the Rams would be an underdog in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it makes sense.
The Ravens.
Yeah. I'm gonna pick the Rams to win this game. I mean, right now it seems like the Ravens are unstoppable, but they also got blown out at home against Cleveland not that long ago.
Right now, so, it seems like, yeah.
You know, the Rams have a very active defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Could they keep Lamar Jackson somewhat under control, relatively speaking? Sure. And then if they do, then I think that, you know, Goff looks so unplayably bad right now. That was the problem.
Yep.
So probably going to regret that pick. All right. So all you're doing is $100 million on the Giants. You're not spending any money anywhere else?
No. If I think about it during the week, then maybe I'll add it in the group or on
all
Facebook
right.
or something.
I'm going to put $150 million on the Falcons to cover.
Okay.
Giving 4 points to Tampa.
Okay.
And then I'm putting $100 million on each of the Jets to cover at home against
okay.
Oakland.
Okay, I'll take it.
And actually, no. I'm putting that on the Jets' money line. Might as well. Got to go calculate whatever the hell.
No, no money. Fine. Yeah, as long as
you do. I'm putting $100 million on the Jets' money line, and I'm putting $100 million on Tennessee to cover 3. And can I parlay all 3 of those, actually?
Yeah, if you figure it out,
we
sure.
Parlays and teasers.
Yeah, you can do parlays. You got to.
All right, I'm going to go calculate what this is, but I'm taking Atlanta, the Jets, and Tennessee.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna calculate it after the podcast, and then I'll tweet out exactly what it is, so that I can figure out exactly how much money I'm spending, how much I'm left with.
Okay,
but those are my 3 picks.
Fine with me.
All right, Kiwi.
All right,
your season's over in Guillotine League. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and in the real NFL, it's been over since week 2 when we had Luke Fogg.
Yeah, but you're a Jets fan, so you're used to that. All right, so we're gonna go record a Patreon episode now, and it's non-sports related.
Non-sports, and if it sucks, blame Chester. But also, this was half the Patreon episode, so you're welcome.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. Walking on a way.
Spider metaphor, like, through this whole thing because of the ferns.
I love it.
Okay. I thought you got that.
Well, I haven't heard the whole thing yet. I didn't really watch it.
Yeah.